All right, Richard Roper's here to tell us about movies that do not have the word Avenger in the title. And it's brought to you by Arkadek. Now, Richard did say, he can speak for himself, but I'm going to quote him anyway.
He is here. We could ask him.
But I like to quote him. You know, Richard Roper told the show that the Avengers Endgame is a 4-star film. One of the best action, one of the best movies of its type ever.
Of its genre, ilk. Mm-hmm. Of its kind. And it, you know, one of the strangest things that has sprung from this, and it's not brand new, but you know, these long movies, there are apps that tell you at what point in the movie you should go to the bathroom, you know, from people who see advanced screenings. Yeah. The urine app, I think is what it was actually called.
Lovely.
And I've never seen, like, there's this huge thing about this yesterday and today, and I finally tweeted out, here's my advice. Here's when you should go to the bathroom if you're going to attend Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
First trip, 5 minutes before movie. Second trip, after movie ends.
It's not that hard, is it?
I've never gone to the bathroom. I don't think I've taken a bathroom break in 5,000 movies. Then Captain America.
Some people have issues.
Well, that's different. I know. I did hear from some women who are 8.5 months pregnant saying, and I said, well, then you shouldn't even be going to the movie. You're going to have a kid tomorrow. Let little Zoe be born in a hospital, not at the Icon Theater. Judgy.
You know, especially now that they have the alcohol in the theater.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
If you start drinking in the theater, and then there's that, and you know.
I feel like some guys are going to have some devices strapped to their thighs. Captain America, Chris Evans, with his 11 million followers, retweets my pee advice. And then I got so many of those. Twitter actually contacted me the first time it's ever happened. And they said, you might want to turn off notifications and comments because it's going so fast, it's going to break your account.
Oh, my God.
And people are saying things to me in languages I don't recognize right now. So they could be saying, all hell, the god of good advice, or how dare you? I don't know. But I think you guys have our we had an extended discussion about the movie the other day, and that's up on the website, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. In case you want to know, but that's how great it is. How many? Did you know how many notifications? How many retweets?
There's more than 30,000 retweets.
Oh, gosh.
And I stopped looking at the comments. You know,
oh, no, 40. It's up to 40, almost 47,000.
So my legacy now is going to be the
pee
advice
breaks
about when to pee at Avengers Endgame. Not any great insights on Christmas
Richard
Eve.
Roper, known for his advice on urination in films.
The New York Times obit guy. Ah, oh, man.
Has died today at the age of 117.
He once gave peeing during a movie advice.
Amazing. This is, well, you know, look, we know what attracts attention. But as Ro mentioned, there are some other movies out, and almost all of these are getting the simultaneous limited theatrical and home streaming release, which is smart by the filmmakers, right? There's a couple I think you guys and listeners will be very interested in, including a movie called Stockholm, starring the ubiquitous and never incapable of giving a bad performance, Ethan Hawke. Now, guys, this is based on the 1974 robbery in Sweden in which an American bank robber and his partner eventually, who joined the thing, another American, walked into a big bank, one of the largest banks in Stockholm, took the hostages, and it went on for days. And at some point during that, the hostages became sympathetic to their captors and actually tried to help
them. Hence the Stockholm syndrome.
Hence the term Stockholm syndrome, which, of course, in the first Die Hard, the news anchor says, oh, that would be, of course, Helsinki, Finland, where the Stockholm Syndrome was originating. So it's 1974, which is cool. So you got music by like Bob Dylan and stuff like that. Okay. And then you've got Ethan Hawke as the bank robber. So I think we have a scene here. He's got the hostages, and now they're dealing with the chief of police, who's trying to figure out a way to you know, get them out of there.
1 minute, or we start the gas.
No. What do you mean? You said you were going
to... 1 minute!
It's not the phone. You have to press the red button.
What's going on? Hey! You said you were going to let us go!
Things have changed.
No, what do you mean? What?
You should do what he says.
No! No way, man! You said we could go!
1 minute.
How can they do that? They can't gas us all. I know they want to kill me, but... No! No retreat, man! Why would they want to kill all of us?
What are you doing?
Hey, don't touch her! Do not touch her, man! I will blow your head off!
Wow.
It's Ethan Hawke in intense mode. But it's also played a lot as, you know, the comedy it kind of is, you know, because it's so ludicrous. Because a lot of this is exactly what happened. They asked for a getaway car to be the exact car that Steve McQueen had in Bullet. It had to be that car. They're like, well, it's going to take a while to get that, you know, in the middle of Stockholm.
Right.
And Noomi Rapace, who was the original girl with the dragon tattoo, she plays one of the hostages. And at one point, they put her in a bulletproof vest and shot her in front of the cops and had her, and she pretended to be dead. And then they're like, oh my God, these guys really mean business. And she saw the security camera and she kept her eyes open for like 8 minutes and then they dragged the body away. And it was because she was, you know, cooperating at this point. It's crazy stuff. So 3 stars, a solid 3 stars for Stockholm. If you're, you know, and I love those. Ro, I know you love the heist movies too. And,
I love
it's always
too.
Great. And the negotiations.
Yeah, bank movies.
Do you get, I mean, maybe, I don't know if it's revealing too much, but do you get the sense of how they really, you believe that they actually came to have some sort of feelings for their.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it was just because the prime minister of Sweden said, we're not going to negotiate with you guys, and too bad. And that the women in particular felt like, well, you don't care if we get killed, so we're going to at least, we're going to bond with these robbers. They're our only chance to get out of here alive. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it started. And it just, you know, it kind of escalated from there. But you can look, you know, you can look it up. That is where the term came from. Patty Hearst, probably the most famous example of a Stockholm syndrome. But, you know, just fun watching Ethan Hawke with the long hair and the cowboy hat and the boots and everything. Because he was from Texas, the guy he's playing.
Well, it's interesting because in that era, you also had, in the real time era, you also had Dog Day Afternoon, which is also based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And the same kind of thing happened in that, too, where the bank employees were kind of, these guys were such bumbling morons and had such a bizarre backstory. Then they told their story, you know, like, well, to the people in the bank that they were like, oh, well, they 100%. Almost kind of want to help them a little at the end. Like, all right, they were going to get a 747 or something and take them to some foreign country.
Yeah, that didn't quite work out for anybody there, but that's absolutely true. And that was the case where, you know, Pacino was so charismatic, and the crowds, they were with him. That's when he was with Attica in front. And then they found out that he wanted to rob the bank to get money for his partner to get a sex change operation. And then the 1974 New York crowd turned on them.
Yeah,
that's
really
point.
True. It's really true. It's like, if you haven't seen that film, that is definitely...
God. Brilliant.
Worth the 90 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, 2 hours.
A little under 2 hours.
Brilliant film.
Because it's great. And you get to see a couple of members of the cast of The Godfather in a movie that's unlike anything that, you know, right from that era.
Yeah, John Cazale, who of course was Fredo in the two Godfather movies and then was in The Deer Hunter, Dog Day Afternoon, one other. He was in 5 movies and 4 were nominated for Best Picture. Unfortunately, died of brain cancer at a very young age.
Right, at that moment.
He's just a brilliant actor. And everybody, and he was actually in love with Meryl Streep. They were a couple of times. So everybody says he was the loveliest man. So, Dog Day Afternoon. Do you want to talk about another one or you want to take a break? Your call. We got a couple more things to talk about.
Wow. It's wow.
There are more movies than Avengers in Stockholm?
Well, hold on.
I'm amped up.
Let's check.
Tell me what you want.
Let's check in with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What is happening? And then we'll come back on the other side.
Joe Biden's not looking for one major endorsement in his race for president.
WTN. All right, let's see here. Richard Roper has got movies other than... It's a big weekend for the movies, but do you want to go up against Avenger?
You know, I think some of these films, certainly that no other major studio or any mainstream release is coming out within 10 days of this. So all the other films coming out were kind of niche films that, you know, they're never expected to make more than a few million dollars. But no, out of the past, people have tried to do that. Like they'll say, well, you know, people go to the theater and they can't get in. They'll go to our movie, but people don't. They just go back home and go to, Mom, wake me up when my ticket's ready. You know, they don't necessarily say, oh, I think I'll go see 3 billboards outside Ebbing if they can't get into, you know, the Clone Wars or whatever.
Avengers is playing on 4,600 screens we were talking about, a record number.
7 a.m. 9 a.m. because of the length of it too, they wanted to do that. And tonight, late after I leave the Rokan show with Anna DeValentes, I have an evening screening, and it is at a theater I've never been to before, about a million miles from here, because none of the downtown venues wanted to give up a screen for an advanced screen. You know, because they have to kind of. for advanced screenings, it's usually two movies that it takes up that much time because security's got to get in there. They got to let people in. Sometimes they check your cell phones, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I usually go to screenings. It might be AMC River Priest or Icon.
It's downtown, right?
I'm going for those of you in the neighborhood to the Davis
Theater. Oh, I know. That's my neighborhood growing up theater. Yeah. I like that place.
That's what everybody keeps telling me.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who's like 4600 North, for somebody who came from Dalton, it might as well have been in
60
in Minnesota. So,
okay,
yeah.
50. Okay. All right. Well, let's have fun over there.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
You know what? There are some great bars up there.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to tell you. That's a very fun neighborhood now.
It's not too far from Loyola.
Right. It was once a scary neighborhood. Now, very fun. Good restaurants, good bars. I can give you
I'm excited
a hipster restaurant recommendation.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Is it a Rokan sneak joint, as they call them sometimes?
I think that term is inappropriately used.
Okay.
All right. So let us talk about the... I forgot now.
Well, we got a couple of things we can get to quickly. Nice. There's a movie called Family, which unfortunately, it's one of those titles. It means nothing, but it's got Taylor Schilling, who's the star of Orange is the New Black. If people have watched that, it's very funny, capable, and versatile actress. And she plays a modern-day business executive who's all about career to the point when her brother calls and says, we need your help with the kid. She's like has to try to remember who the kid is. In fact, it's essentially the female Uncle Buck. Because remember Uncle Buck, when he got called, they couldn't find any sitters, and he's driving to the thing, the kids, I wonder how old they are now. And then it's all about the bonding that takes place because, of course, the one night of babysitting goes longer. The other interesting thing about this movie is at one point it takes us to a gathering of the Juggalos, or the Insane Clown Posse fans who dress up in the clown stuff and everything. So it's mm-hmm. the first action comedy with a Juggalo twist, I can tell you that. So we've got a clip here. So here's Taylor Schilling. She's the businesswoman aunt who is not close at all with her family.
We need you to watch Maddie.
I'm sorry, who?
Your niece. I'd like you to fill out an order form for her to be in the proper attire.
You know, I just really don't want to.
I know, middle school is really the worst.
But then everything got better and you're fine now?
No, I'm usually in this place where I hate myself, but I still think that I'm better than everybody else, you know?
If you're staying long, some of the moms get together, do a Wednesday night potluck. Okay. Is everything okay?
No. I'm watching my niece for the week. She's strange. I think she prefers being alone and making weapons of nature.
It's a good line. There's a lot of really good writing in this film. And Kate McKinnon plays the busybody next-door neighbor mom, who, of course, immediately has to get in the business of the new aunt who's there. And, of course, they're all walking around in the neighborhood in their Lululemon pants. And there's a moment where Kate McKinnon says, it's time to put on your mommy hat. And the response comes, it's time to put on some real pants because I can see and you can figure out how it goes from there. So it's an R-rated film. It's an R-rated film.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I'm giving this one 3 stars as well. If you liked Uncle Buck, it really is. It's almost like we talked a couple weeks ago, there was a movie that was kind of like The Karate Kid in its weird way. Mm-hmm. It's a new take on that. And then, I think you'll see the Juggalos in a different light after this film. The Insane Clown Posse fans who at one point marched on Washington because they were being classified as a gang. Remember that about a year ago? And they actually got that overturned. They're not a gang. They're just very scary people who have that clown thing.
Yeah. If you decide to dress as a clown and not get paid for it, you're a freak.
I'm afraid of the Juggalos, but just thought I never got the Insane Clown Posse. What's your favorite Insane Clown Posse song?
My favorite album is Insane Clown Posse 2.
Okay, yeah. Insaner.
I believe that it showed the evolution and the natural growth of their art. What is the name of that film again?
This film's called Family, which it's Family. Another one of those movies where, Kai, come on, guys.
Huh.
Just call it Aunt Buck. Everyone know it'd be Uncle Buck with a woman.
Interesting. And is that going also to the?
Yeah, it's in some local theaters. It's in actually quite a few, but your easiest bet is that one is another one of the Netflix machine, which never stops cranking out.
And Netflix, it will be on Netflix next week.
Immediately,
or something?
No, like these
right
are
now?
Both Family and the Stockholm movie. I think tomorrow, if not tonight, if you just Google them,
you're
they're available.
Me.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy how this is
simultaneous
happening?
Platform releases. They're doing. Look, Netflix does not care that the studios are mad at them about this. They're going to occasionally, with films like Roma, they'll put them in a theater so it can get an Academy Award. But, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the Highwaymen, which was the Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson,
right?
And that
me
was
about it.
It was like, oh, it's right in the theaters for a week. And there have been things like the Beyonce concert film, which I think could have gotten a nomination for Best Documentary and now can't because it went straight to Netflix. It could be nominated for an Emmy.
Because sometimes they play that, let's play it in one theater, a few theaters,
yes,
and then go to Netflix just to be considered. But
and I think they just believe that that's a different audience and it's not really going to hurt the film's performance. In other words, the people they're targeting probably weren't going to go to the theater this weekend, even if they weren't up against Endgame.
So what's the economy of that? I don't understand the business model.
Well, they don't share anything because they don't have to. They'll tell you, well, you can see, first of all, you can see they renew certain series and they don't renew other series, even some really, you know, ones that seem to be popular.
So I got a movie. Let's say I'm making a movie. I'm making Godfather 6,
yes,
Electric Boogaloo.
Okay.
And I'm,
that's
and,
a good one. I'd see, I'd watch that with you.
Interesting.
And now I got to decide, I know it's going to be a pretty big movie, but it's not going to be a gigantic movie. So I got to do something with it. I think the Electric Boogaloo piece is killing it. And Netflix, and I want to go into theaters, and that there's an expense to going into the theaters, but I want to do that. And Netflix comes to me and they pay me a crazy amount of money to put it on Netflix first.
Yeah, and
along,
you know,
with this.
And the
movie exhibitors don't care.
No, they hate it. That, you know, they're battling every way they can, and a lot of, you know, Steven Spielberg's kind of led the charge saying it's not a movie if it doesn't play in a theater. You know, he's you know, and he, a lot of other filmmakers know, and the studios don't like it one bit. Not really a lot they can do. And, you know, Netflix, what they've done too, almost all of us, if you sign up for Netflix and then you see your ex-girlfriend still is one of the five people using it 3 years later, because you can have five people use your account. You know, I don't know anybody, and I'm sure some people have for either economic reasons or, you know, but every time they just, they'll knock it up another buck or two and no one cares. You're going to pay. So they're, you know, they're getting tens of millions of people who started off getting Netflix movies in their mailbox, you know, originally. Once you have Netflix, people just live in that universe. So they're making a ton of money and they're throwing out all kinds of money. And you know, look at somebody like Adam Sandler, who is 50 now, you know, and all those comedies that weren't necessarily critical hits in most cases, but always made a lot of money, those fans are now in their 40s and 50s. So he signed a 6-picture deal with Netflix because he's smart enough to realize his last few movies, even, you know, 8, 10 years ago, weren't doing the kind of business they were doing because that audience wasn't going to theaters anymore.
Right. Well, that's
but
true.
If you see that Adam Sandler and Chris Rock are going to play the father of the groom and bride, respectively, in a comedy on Netflix, which was out last year, you're going to click on it if you're an Adam Sandler fan.
And I don't know what Netflix is charging me. I have no idea.
That's exactly right,
Rokan. It's not a significant number. That's the thing, right? I mean, it's not like DirecTV or some of these other
services.
But
didn't it just go up?
Yeah, but
it did just go up. It goes up, you know, every once in a while. And they have so much content. But then, you know,
and where are they charging? Can anybody find where they're charging me?
I don't know. I think it's on my Discover card or something like that. Or my Diners Club.
Diners Club.
The standard plan goes up a buck to $8.99 from $7.99.
So it's,
while its standard plan with HD quality, the most popular offering will increase from $10.99 to $12.99. Its premium plan,
that's per
which
month,
you
right?
probably have,
yeah.
It went up to $15.99.
What do I get for the premium plan? I don't even know what I have.
Probably some advanced looks at movies. But if you look at that, you say, okay, $15 a month, that's one ticket to one movie.
Totally.
So
and
a lot,
no popcorn
and again,
or $6
have,
water.
You know, you see this because they have, you know, a kid's control. So, you know, Anna could have a filter set up for her daughter.
We do. You
right?
have to log in as yourself.
So, you know, for the average person, they're like, gosh, you know, if it's $150 a year, it would be about three outings to the movies, maybe two with
Plus,
a sitter and
I get,
everything.
I, let's so. Just say, I get sick of not getting to see new movies because you got to get a sitter and it's much more of a hassle. They aren't as many of those spur of the moment.
Yeah, and
things.
They said, like, you know, for example, remember Bird Box, the Sandra Bullock horror film that was released right over the
popular.
Holidays? Now, they claim some insane number, but, you know, they said it was maybe the most popular original release they'd ever seen. They got the equivalent of that movie making $300 million in the theater.
In terms of numbers of eyeballs.
In terms of numbers of eyeballs. Yeah. They're never going to get $300 million to see that movie, and not even close, you know, box office, you know, theatrically.
So what is Netflix paying for that, do you think?
A lot. I mean, they're throwing a lot of money around. That I know that much for sure.
See,
like the John Mulaney's and the comics, like they are just like that is the new syndication deal. You know, back in the day when every comic in the world had a syndicate or a sitcom deal, development deal, what do they call
it? Development deal.
Yeah, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, everybody, you know, and it's because a lot of them turn out to be, you know, big hit shows, Drew Carey and Roseanne and Seinfeld and everybody. Now the goal of a lot of comics is to get a 3 special or a 6 special. Netflix deal. And you
you're
see
getting
that.
Multiple millions of dollars per special.
You're getting a lot of money. And I sometimes I'll see, wow, that's really cool. Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle signed a deal. Yeah. And then I see somebody I've never heard of and they're playing Madison Square Garden because they were on Netflix last year.
Well,
you know?
Sebastian, that's what he just did. I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah. So it's working. You know, they're a giant, and I know it scares a lot of the studios. Well, the studios, you know, listen, you've been making superhero movies and very well and not paying attention to a lot of the other fare out there. So, you know, for example, you know, there's a movie called Wine Country coming out with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch. And it's like, that's a Netflix film.
It goes right to Netflix.
Yeah. I think that one might get a little theatrical release. But Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy in a movie that caused a lot of controversy because people are saying, is it going to glorify him or whatever? That's a Netflix movie coming out next
week. Well, Infinity Wars, you said we should see it before the new Avengers. That's on Netflix now.
Yeah, and they do that a lot, too, where they'll position something. And they still, you know, to this day, I think the most popular offering in the history of Netflix is The Office, you know, because people just watch it over and over and over again.
Right.
You know?
It's like I'm doing that with Friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a, you know, or
it's
Mad
right there
Men.
For you at any time to pop on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then it goes away, though, but it always ends up. Then it goes to Hulu or to.
Yeah.
How much am I paying for all this?
You're paying a lot.
I got Xfinity. I got DirecTV.
You got probably Amazon. You got the Amazon to watch some of their series. All of the other.
I get free shipping though now.
You know that's nice. Sometimes you can go to a little place.
They're taking that away. Did you see that? They're gonna take that away as part of your thing for the Prime.
I like going to those little Amazon stores where you pop in a code and then just one of the magic boxes opens up and there's your socks that you ordered. Like, you know, because you go in there, you put a barcode, and then you don't know which locker is going to open up. And then if you look through the locker, you can see the humans back there that are putting everything in place. It's pretty cool.
I feel like I'm in some weird futurist dream right now.
Yeah. But I think this is all, honestly, also we're talking about, I see it more positive. I know some people say, oh, Netflix taking over the world. It's like, well, keep up, you know, and Amazon has stepped up their game in terms of original Hulu. Apple keeps claiming they will.
I don't know what happened with the Hulu.
They were first, you know, in terms of like they were there, and it just
I find myself less on Hulu unless I want to watch. Yeah,
that's great. That's absolutely true.
I think I'm paying for the premium there too.
Netflix,
I'm sure I am. I always click that first, and then the next thing you know, I got a bill. For my television, I am paying more than I paid for my first home. Just for my television in my home.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it. HBO alone could be more than what Netflix costs to add that to your
cable. All the HBO packages. And, of course, you know, HBO wisely, of course, about 3-4 weeks ago had all kinds of special offers. And they know that a ton of people will sign up for Game of Thrones. And then they'll leave after 2 months. And they're like, that's fine. You know, we got your $50. And they're, you know, if you talk to the HBO people, they're like, yeah, we understand that that's what's happening. That's great. Come on. And maybe they'll check out, you know, they do have other really good series on there as well. You know, maybe they'll become a fan of Veep or Barry or any of their other offerings.
And I do that, again, because you're already staring at the home screen trying to see what else you might like. So
and next week I'm going to have for you guys, I know this is a Netflix film too. It's a documentary about AOC. Taking the world by storm. So I know that a lot of the MAGA fans are going to want my review of that. You know, that'll be just so much fun.
Well, you're going to get 47,000 responses to that, too.
Yeah, probably a little different.
Not exactly the same.
Hoping to get, you know, like a Donald Trump Jr.
There will be a lot of suggestions that you get a colonoscopy.
I bet, yeah.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What do you got in the newsroom?